from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, fun show lined up on a Tuesday. James is there. Kyle's here. Jiffy Lube, omnipresent. They sponsor this program. Just shy of 270, by the way, James.
Oh, yeah.
Just shy of 270,000 miles.
I have never taken a car that far.
Civic.
Never taken a car that far.
You know, I got to tell you, I was told, actually by friend of the program, John Bull, mm-hmm. who I have perpetual beef with. I was thinking about, this is years ago now, and my car was, you know, pushing, I was up over 100,000, and I might have been closer to 150 at this point. But I'd hit him up because he knows quite a bit about cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, man, I'm thinking about looking into a new car. You know, my 2012 Civic's got this many miles on it. And he was like, dude, take care of that and you can get that thing to 300,000 miles.
Oh, yeah.
And I went, oh, bet. All right. Well, now I got more work to do on it, but that's why we're going to take it to Jiffy Lube and we're going to try and get it to 300.
Yeah, get that thing rolling.
Fingers crossed. All right, we have several things to get to today. The 49ers report to training camp today. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch talking at 11 o'clock. We're going to carry that live because I'm sure they're going to talk about the Brandon Ayuk situation. We will find out today if Brandon Ayuk did or did not report to 49ers training camp, which is the biggest storyline out of the Bay Area. We'll have some USA men's hoops for you. And maybe some MLB trade deadline with that coming up. But there was something we didn't get to yesterday that I would like to get to today. And James, this is not a shot at you. But this is not a shot at you. But no, you were among the people who said, wow, it's crazy that Shams broke the big political news that happened over the weekend.
Well, I got the alert from Shams.
Right, which is what I think happened with a lot of people.
Yes.
Because a lot of people have the Shams Charania notifications on Twitter. Probably not that many people. There's probably the intersection between people who have updates from the president or other political figures and Shams Charania coming to their phone. The intersection that has both of those things, the Venn diagram, very small.
Yes.
Very, very small. So I think there was a lot of people, especially in my orbit, who got that notification from Shams. And then the word just came around that Shams broke this news.
Mm.
And somebody had made the joke. There was a tweet going around where someone asked who's going to break that news. And somebody made the joke that Shams was going to do it. And then everyone's retweeting that like, oh my God, they were right. He didn't.
Yes.
And I shouldn't care. And I understand that. I understand this is about me being weird. Because it doesn't matter who did the thing. The President Biden did what he did and stuff happened, and that's all separate from my annoyance at just like who's getting credit for this report. But everyone's like, wow, what can't Shams do? I'm like, bro, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, well, he did do something. he tweeted something without accrediting a source.
Yes! That's so annoying!
Yeah, yeah. I think that that's where it's at. Like, we have a policy here that we don't talk politics, right? Like,
yes.
We don't
talk
politics.
So I'm just trying to be very vague and generic as we do.
Yeah,
this.
We don't. We don't talk politics. Your escapism.
Yes.
What we're talking about here is something completely different. It's the way that things are reported.
Yes.
And how Twitter can be used, like any of the mediums can be used in like a very strange way. Like, I credit people. Like, I'll retweet something, mm-hmm. or if I'm going to get, yeah. like, if confirm something, I credit. Like, I try every single time. Every once in a while, you're moving too fast and you forget. Sometimes you got to go back in and edit a tweet and add in a name. Sometimes you got to put a second tweet. But that doesn't matter. Like, if I'm not first with it, then I'm going to credit somebody. Unless it's one of those things where you're both competing at the same time for the same exact story, and then someone may get a tweet out like 20 seconds before you get a tweet out, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But so. But I've seen you do this before, and I've seen a lot of people on the 49ers beat do this all the time. Can confirm report via so-and-so that X, Y, and Z happened.
Yes.
Or X, Y, and Z happened, source X, Y, and Z happened, such and such had it first.
Yes.
Like, that's just so easy. And that's again, this is not a Shams specific thing. This is just, I see this all the time where people be like, breaking thing that happened. Like, you did not break that news, dude.
Yes.
You did not do that. And so Shams seeing what the president tweeted and then tweeting this out as though he's breaking it. It's a joke. Shams on fraud watch. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
He is.
Okay.
I thought he was better than that. I know that. Here's my theory on this. I've been building this theory for a while because of Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, mm-hmm. and I think to a similar extent, Shams, where there's like bonuses or something written into their deals for Twitter engagement.
Okay,
that's the only explanation for not just retweeting. You'll see. Ian Rappaport from NFL Media does this all the time. It's a running joke. I have multiple group chats where this is a running joke, independent of each other, mm-hmm. where this is a running joke. Something will happen. Let's say the 49ers announce the Brandon Ayuk contract. Rappaport will quote tweet it and go, official. Like, nope, didn't need that. The Ravens will sign some safety, and he'll be like, safety help in Baltimore. Like, you don't need, what do you do? Just retweet it.
Specifically so he's getting the engagement.
Yes.
Because if you just retweet, you don't get the engagement. If you retweet with comment,
yes,
then you do get the engagement.
Racking up those clicks, baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. It's just, it's so insane going from, and we'll talk about real sports here in a bit, but it's so crazy because when I was in, I wasn't in college in the scope of time. I was not in college that long ago. I graduated college in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there from 2008 to 2013. Yeah, do the math. I was there for 5 years. Sue me. And in that time, you learned about journalism in a way more like old school way.
Yes.
Because so many of my classes, it was mass communication. The study of mass communication was my official major. So I did a lot of classes on like the study of intercultural communication and the study of interpersonal communication and mass communication theories and effects and all that. And what I learned back in 2009, 2010, 2011 was all about like hard newspaper journalism and the way that that goes. But so many of my classes at the time were like, yeah, but you know, things are kind of changing with the internet. Like that's how quickly these things move.
Yes.
And now with social, all of that has just gone. It's out the window. Crediting sources doesn't matter anymore. Crediting other reporters doesn't. It's just like, hey, get it out there, have it first, and get that engagement, baby.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I think it's interesting, too, because when you do see a Woj tweet or a Shams tweet, and it says, according to, and they start listing the agents.
Yo.
Then that feels even more strange and awkward and like, oh, well, we know exactly where you got that information.
I've been so excited to ask you this because mm-hmm. we have not gotten to talk about it. Because you play in this space far more than I do.
Yes.
So do you think that my theory, tell me if you think this is right or wrong or if you have a different thought on it. My theory on why Woj is doing that is because he's telling these agents, like, hey, if you give me this info, I will make sure to get your name out there.
Of course.
And that's just, that's why he's getting these scoops, is because he's the one who's willing to put the agent's name on it.
Yeah, I mean, you can go through the Ethan Strauss, like breakdown.
Yeah, expose.
Expose on Woj, how he sends out a, like a, basically like a, what is it, the, like a, slides. He sends out like a presentation to incoming general managers, to agents, to everybody, about why you would give him the information first, because...
He puts together a sales deck?
Oh, yeah. No, he has a sales deck of why you would give him the information first, because he has this many followers, this much engagement, this much this. Like, there's a whole entire thing. And so,
that's
like...
That's crazy.
Like, look, it's... Like, there are occasions where you're just, like, taken aback by how shady everything is. Like, again... One of my biggest beasts was with the day we saw De'Aaron Fox like get hurt at practice. We're walking in the door. As we walk in the door, he takes a bad step, and then he's like, "Oh!" And then he's hopping off the court and limping off the court. And we're all there.
Right.
We do a coaching interview. They have no update. We do some player interviews. No update. While we're leaving that room and heading to another room, while we saw it happen, we get a Shams tweet that De'Aaron Fox has a grade 3 ankle sprain and is out, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was like, okay.
And you were
like,
all in the same building. Shams wasn't.
Well, he was not. He was somewhere else in the world, nowhere near Sacramento. And that's where you're like, okay, like, look, if you're talking to agents, you're talking, that's fine. But like,
that's infuriating.
It goes beyond, you know. So there are times where you have a story, they have a story, and they may, like, Shams might beat you by 10 seconds on something, but it's like, okay, you put it out. And I'm not going to credit him in that situation, because I had the information probably before he did, but at the last second he was handed a text or a tweet or like something very specific. Hey, this just happened.
Yeah. If it's the margin of error of like, I was on 5G and you were on Wi-Fi, so your tweet went through. Yeah, there's none of that.
But I'll tell you, there's not a single time where it's been the reverse, where I beat them to a story, and then they come back and like give me credit after the fact. Either one, and I will tell, like, I don't know if Shams follows me, but I will tell you, like, Adrian Wojnarowski follows me. I've met all of these guys. I mean, there was a game where I sat next to Shams the entire game. We exchanged like maybe 5 words the entire time. Yeah.
What an interesting person.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Other news from yesterday that we did not dive into. Sasha Vezenkov bought out by the Raptors for $0.
Yeah.
How does that work?
He renegotiated his contract to zero, and then was waived. And went to Olympiakos on a 5-year deal, which is like, I think it's a 5-year, $17 million deal. So, like, literally he gave up $6.5 million so he could sign a 5-year, $17 million deal to go back to Europe.
So he just really wanted to go back to Europe.
He really wanted to go back to Europe, and I'm surprised that it was zero. Like, I would have expected him to, like at least get a little bit to leave and, you know, maybe get, like if I were the Kings, now you're looking at it like, oh, we maybe probably should have negotiated that a little harder and seen if he wanted to leave, because you could have just bought him out after the fact. And then you probably wouldn't have traded Davion Mitchell and 2 second-round picks for Jalen McDaniels.
Right.
You know, even if you wanted to make a straight swap of Davion Mitchell for Jalen McDaniels, that's fine, but you wouldn't have given up 2 first-round picks in that deal.
So is that...
Second-round picks, sorry.
So bear with me here. Because I think I'm struggling to figure this out. The Kings didn't benefit in any way from that, though, right?
From the what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
No, Toronto did. But if the
Kings... I'm sorry. I misspoke. The Kings didn't... That didn't impact the Kings at all.
No, but...
If they had been the ones to negotiate it down and waive him, that doesn't change anything, right?
Well, yeah, now they have... Toronto has $6 million in cap space that they didn't have yesterday. So, like, if the Kings would have done that, if they would have got Sasha to take a zero buyout and just go, that then they would have had $6 million in cap space. Now they got that $6 million by trading him,
right?
That's taking only back $4 million. But at the same time, they gave up 2 second round picks to dump the salary.
Oh, I see.
Got me?
Yes.
So like I think if you were to trade Davion Mitchell straight across for Jalen McDaniels, I think Toronto probably would have had to give up something.
Yeah, probably. I would imagine so. That's a rotation player versus not a rotation player.
Yeah, yeah. So you're looking at the reverse of the trade, and the Kings gave up 2 second round picks to give up to get rid of salary in that trade.
I imagine so. I can't imagine that the Kings front office didn't try to do that. That seems to me like either the Kings just whiffed and they went, yeah, we're going to salary dump him without asking if he wanted to negotiate his contract down, or they tried and Sasha said no thanks and was willing to work with the Raptors instead.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, again, we talk about this all the time, but basketball is super situational.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets traded to Toronto and he could be like, okay, first of all, I don't want to be in Toronto. Secondly, sure. Toronto's not going to be very good. There's a good chance they're not going to be very good, and that's why he came to the U.S. and came to the Kings specifically, because he thought they had a chance to be really good. They were the third seed the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, like, you can get to Toronto and then look around and realize that they have six guys who play your position and you're not going to see any time at all, and just be like, all right, not only am I in a new city, but I'm done. This team isn't going to be very good and I'm not going to get to play and I'm going to bail. I don't want to waste my prime here in Toronto. And even if it's for one more year, you don't want to waste your 29-year-old season in a situation that's not going to be good for you. So, like, again, I think if you back out today, it looks like a bad deal for the Kings. Like, the Kings did something that they should not have done. But you have to look at the situation, what it was on June 26 or whatever, when they made that deal,
mm-hmm.
versus where it is today, and how things change quickly in the league. And this happens. So I would have done a little bit more work to see if I could get Sasha to, even if it was like $1 million buyout where you're giving him $1 million and he's taken off, like the dollar amount could have been anything. The fact that it went to zero is for Toronto is a great thing, because now they don't have that $1 million on their they don't have $6.5 million on their books. But yeah, it does feel a little bit like you let something slip away there. I don't know that it would have been that same way in Sacramento.
Right. If Sacramento had held on to him, let's just for the sake of this and not getting into the weeds, let's just call it Davion and 2 seconds for Jalen McDaniels, and the Kings keep Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going, oh, well, this is a better team, I'll just stick around for $6.5 million? Or did he feel slighted in some way by them and decided that he wasn't going to play ball?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
No, it's very interesting. I don't know. But I will tell you, like, the funny thing is that
can't imagine they just fumbled that bag like that.
If you would rewind it and Sasha was still on the Kings today, I actually see a way in which Sasha plays for the Kings today. Like, if you had Sasha and he was healthy and you traded for Jalen McDaniels with the Davion transaction, mm-hmm. without second round picks, whatever.
Yeah, just say,
however
yeah.
you get that done, the fact that you now have DeMar DeRozan on the roster changes things. So in this world, right away in my mind, I think, okay, you could start Trey Lyles at the four, you could start Keegan Murray at the three, and DeMar DeRozan at the two, and then you would have the backup at the four. You still would have limitations. You would still want to go out there and find some other piece, but at least it would have given you a different option. But either way, like, Sasha wanted to go home, and I don't, like, that's like the overarching theme.
$0. That dude wanted out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally. And like being around him a lot, because he was the one guy who was in the locker room all the time last year. Super, super nice guy. But you could tell, like, he was lonely. And then when injuries hit, it was like, okay, he'd never been through that. And we talked about this a little bit, just like the extreme travel of the United States game versus, you know, playing in Europe. Like, it was crazy how like, you're just getting dragged around the country at all times.
Well, not to mention, You just talked about the two things that kind of go hand in hand here and making last year really tough for him. Not only is he lonely and isolated in a new country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just that was great. To be lonely and isolated in a new country with a major injury where, go talk to an athlete about being hurt.
Yeah.
It is a lonely, boring existence. It is you and the training staff. And that's it. You don't get to play the sport that you love to play more than anything in the world. You
totally.
Just don't get to do that thing. And now you're in a country where you don't, your friends and family are not here. That'd be brutal, dude.
And I think that, like, when you come over as a young player and a team usually has a group of young players, like every team in the league has a small group of young players. Like last year, the Kings had Jordan Ford, they had Jalen Slauson, they had Colby Jones, they had Keegan, this group of young players, right, that are all hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're coming over as a European guy who, you know, like clearly at this point, Sasha's English was better than most people's English in the United States.
Yeah.
But if you're 28, you don't fit into that group of young guys. And then we talked about this like all the time, how this team very specifically has a bunch of babies. Like there's a bunch of mature guys who are married, who are like have families, like the Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox. Now, you know, Sabonis is now have two kids. The Foxes are baby number two is on the way. You got Harrison Barnes and his wife who have a little baby, August. Like that group, you don't fit in with them so much because you're like this European dude who doesn't really have someone to hang out with. So like very odd fit. And so I felt for him. Like you could tell, like if you could go hang out with a player like, hey man, let's go have a drink. He probably would have been like, that's not something I do, but it probably would have been like, hey, that doesn't sound all that bad. Like at least I could go hang out with somebody.
Yeah.
But you know, it's tough. Like the transition to the NBA and all that stuff, it's not easy.
Yeah, and trying to make a jump in league. God, that's a really, really tough spot.
And the realization.
I feel for Sasha, man.
I do. The realization that what you are over there and what you are here is so vastly different. You're such a superstar there, and here you're just some dude on the bench who may or may not get to play.
Fighting for playing time.
Yeah, it's super tough.
I could see if you're 20 years old and you think, man, I've maxed out what I'm going to be in Europe. I want to go test myself in the NBA and grow, and you have runway. But when you come over here as a 28-year-old, 28, right?
Mm-hmm.
28-year-old, this is it. Like, this is probably about where you're at in the league.
Yeah.
You're fighting for playing time. I'd go be a superstar too.
Oh yeah, totally.
I don't blame him one bit.
Yep.
Taking $0 is crazy though. I don't want this $6.5 million. I'm going to step away from that and take zero instead.
Yeah, that just tells you how much he wanted to go and that the Raptors definitely played a little bit of hardball there.
Yeah, for sure. Saw some news this morning from the NFL. We're going to be all over the place today, guys. Buckle up. Saw some news this morning from the NFL that the NFL and the NFL Players Association are discussing an 18-game schedule.
Mm.
They're like deep in talks about this. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone.
No.
That this is happening, that they're pushing toward an 18-game schedule. You, me, D'Lo, Casey, Jesse, everybody in the chatty house, anybody who watches even a little bit of football or follows the NFL, even a small amount, knew when they went to 17 games, that 18 was the goal.
Oh, yeah.
17 was a means to an end.
Well, then they want a 20-week schedule. They want the two buys. They want 20 weeks of television of all of us lining up and watching TV all day long.
Here's where I have a tough time with this, and this is just kind of there's a lot of this push-pull as a sports fan. I think 18 games is a terrible idea. I think 17 games is a bad idea.
Mm.
I think games on Thursday night is a terrible idea. I think games every Christmas is a bad idea. It's all bad. But at the same time, they got me. And they know they got me. They know they got me and everybody else. So they're going to push for this 18-game schedule. Everyone's going to talk about how much it sucks. I will say, look, the reality is that's what's coming. No amount of realistic pushback from fans is going to stop the NFL from trying to take over the world. So as long as the two byes are there, you're giving teams two bye weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's a normal kind of set of bye weeks and then one like halfway point bye week where everybody's off, or however they decide to structure it, two bye weeks is a must. And then this is something you brought up a while back, and I couldn't agree more with it. You have to allow your game day roster to be all 53 guys.
Yeah.
You can't go 46-man game day roster with 18 games.
So if I'm the Players Association, I'm asking for a handful of things here.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is I want, if you're playing a Thursday night game, then you have a bye the week before. So you have a bye on that Sunday. And then if you're going to play on Thursday, there's no more four-game gap.
Yeah.
That a 4-day gap. That is so detrimental to the brand of the NFL. And it a lot of times it's not even that Thursday game that you get impacted. It's the next one where you have the wheels fall off and two guys get hurt or three guys get hurt. Also the concussion issue of that is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say if you're going to make a Thursday night a thing and we're going to have two bye weeks, teams that play on Thursday night have a bye week on the Sunday before. So then there is, so then they have like a 10-day gap and they're getting a break and they're relaxing. They're getting some sort of build up. The other thing is
that just real quick.
Yep.
That turns Thursday night into almost a benefit.
Yeah.
Cause now you get your week off, you play on Thursday and then you get another 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
and that's a way like to preserve your players. So that would be number one. Number two, lifetime medical for every single dude who plays in the league.
Yep.
Just straight up lifetime medical, it's over.
On a roster.
It is what it is. The other thing I would do is you need to increase the league minimum. So you can increase the salary cap, but we all know what that means. That means that Brock Purdy's going to get more money and that Bosa is going to get more money.
Mm-hmm.
What that doesn't mean is that some dude who's taken in the sixth round who makes a roster is going to get any more money. You need to raise the floor. If you're going to play this many games, those guys have livelihoods. They have lives that are going to be after football as well.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, if you're going to let these guys go out there and realistically destroy their bodies for the rest of their lives, then you better pay them like a going wage, like a realistic wage. And then what we've talked about, like bump up the roster, like go to a 53-man. Everyone's eligible. But also, how about we get four more roster spots?
Yeah,
to have 55 a
55-man roster with practice squad call-ups or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, open the league up to have more. So if I'm the Players Association and I'm negotiating this, like, I have my demands here, and it's going to cost you. Like, you guys are going out there and making all this money on TV. It's going to cost you a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think there's anybody shedding a tear for the NFL's pocketbooks.
No.
They already print money. Now you're going to add more games to the schedule. You're already doing the primetime Christmas and Black Friday and all this other. They are going to be printing money.
Yes.
The lifetime medical for every player, the uptick in minimum salary, the added game day roster spots drops in the bucket compared to what the league is going to look like in 20 years, 30 years, 50 years.
Yeah. Take care of your players. That's what I'm saying. Like, take care of these guys. Like, you know how many players play in the league for 1 or 2 years and then
most of them
have a catastrophic knee injury and they're done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what does that mean for them? Like, the rest of their life, that there's a good chance that they destroyed their knee for you and you're just going to walk away from them. And that's what I see so often. Like, I feel for these guys who are trying to get in the league and then, you know, like, you got to do something here.
Tough. All right, we'll stay on top of that 18-game schedule story. I'm guessing it will continue, maybe not through this season, but certainly into next offseason. USA men's basketball narrowly escaped with a victory against Germany yesterday. We'll talk about their odds of winning the gold medal coming up next. We've also got some NFL power rankings from The Athletic, and coming up at 11 o'clock, 49ers press conference with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. The 49ers report to training camp today. Still no news on whether Brandon Ayuk is in the building or not. As soon as that news drops, we will have it for you right here on ESPN 1320. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the insiders. They're Jiffy Lube. They're the sponsor on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, you guys got me going now. You know that I'm a big numbers guy.
Yeah.
And I think numbers in sports matter. I think they matter a lot. I don't think they matter that much. But Jordan McLaughlin's in a tough spot. Somebody in the chatty house asked what number he's going to wear for the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And he wore number 6 with the Wolves, which is not available in Sacramento because of the sixth man and because of Bill Russell. In college at USC, he wore number 11, also not available in Sacramento because that's Domas's new number.
Yep.
10 will go to DeMar DeRozan.
Yep.
9 is Herder?
Yes.
So
8 is Colby Jones?
Or no, Colby Jones is 20. Mason Jones is 8.
Mason Jones. Yeah. I remember seeing the number 8.
Yeah. So he can't just flip the 6 upside down and do 9. He can't do like 6 and or 11 minus 6 is 5. Maybe he goes 17?
Okay.
No, 17 was Kessler Edwards, I think. So yes. I think 17's available. So maybe he goes 6 plus 11 and goes with 17.
Yeah, now Kessler Edwards has not been signed anywhere yet. Just to put that out there.
Bring him back for camp. Why not?
You still have, you're at 13. You still need two more roster players. Well, at least one more roster player.
It can't be Kessler. For camp, fine.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in all honesty, like, I'm not sure if you need long athletic dudes, you might as well bring in a guy who knows your system. Even if if he's going to compete with Jalen McDaniels for whatever, that to me wouldn't be all that horrible.
I think you just need, if you're going to do that, you need someone whose upside is they can play the 4. I don't think Kessler can.
That's true. I think both of those guys, like in the modern NBA, can play 3-4. They're both 6'8", 6'9", with seven foot plus
you're
wingspans.
Right. Bring back Kessler.
Bring back Kessler. Yeah, that's our shirts.
Yeah. If the Kings want to win the offseason, here's the move they have to make.
Actually, I'm on board with this one right here in the chat. Delorean 1, Dominic Barlow.
Oh, that's your guy.
I really like Dominic Barlow. I would give him a non-guaranteed two-year contract. Invited
to
camp.
Is he a free agent?
He's a free agent, yeah. He has bird rights, but his bird rights are as a two-way player. I would be all over that. I think he's a guy that can really play the game and has the length, athleticism that you're kind of looking for.
Stephen Brown in the chat. That was tough, but fair.
Yeah.
If you want to see what he said, go to youtube.com/ESPN1320.
Wow. It's just tough.
Blunt assessment of Kessler Edwards' game, to be sure.
Yes. I think it's interesting, someone also brings up JaVale McGee. There's been no mention of JaVale McGee at all. As a player, there came a point where it was like, okay, I'm not sure.
This is what we talked about when they signed him.
Yeah.
It's can you get more good than bad? And I do not think they did last year.
Yeah, I think it's funny too because it becomes like a bit on D'Lo and KC that I don't like JaVale McGee. Right. I'm perfectly fine with JaVale McGee. I just like there are games where you couldn't play him.
Yes.
And you knew it like within 30 seconds of him being on the floor, he could do an alley-oop dunk. And 2 seconds later, you just go, I don't think I've ever seen what just happened on the court after that. I don't think I've ever seen before. And no.
One of my favorite plays this year was JaVale at the top of the key, and he's got it. And he tried this like backhanded, like bounce pass, thread the needle.
We have breaking news.
And just sailed it through the baseline. What do we got?
Brandon Ayuk is reporting to training camp, sources tell Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo.
Wow, that's big time. So Brandon Ayuk is in camp.
Oof.
A small surprise.
Keep your money.
A small surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is good news. I think this is ultimately good news for the 49ers. It means things are a little bit more amicable than his recent trade request would have indicated.
Yeah.
Now, here's where things get interesting. Does he report to camp and just go, okay, I'm on my fifth-year option, negotiation's over, see you next offseason?
Mm.
Or is this a hold-in situation? Is this the 49ers have told him, hey, you show up to camp, we're not going to negotiate, but you show up to camp, and we'll get something done. You be here in this building, and we will work with you. But if you hold out, here's our offer.
You know what I don't like about this situation? I feel like when we saw Ayuk say, hey, like, look, I want to be here. Like, I feel like they don't want me and like all that stuff. Like, there's a genuine like feel to him. He's not your typical diva wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
but he does deserve to get paid like what it is that receivers that are as good as him make.
Yes.
And so I feel like he's going to have a tough time in negotiations because you can tell that where he wants to be is where he's at. And he doesn't want to go somewhere else. He likes playing with Brock Purdy. He likes being a 49er. He wants to be here. And mm-hmm. so it's really difficult to negotiate when you're in that situation where you're in a situation where like everyone around you is saying, man, you need to stand up and do what's right for you. And that means you need to not be here. You need to force their hand. And at the same time, you're like, but this is where I want to be and this is who I want to be. And so I get it. It's a very difficult thing for a player,
mm-hmm.
and especially if you think you're in the right spot for you and the best position to be great. And I think sometimes it's not all about like, if you can make $25 million and not $27 million, but you're in the right spot, then that's probably where you should be. And for me, like if I'm Brandon Ayuk and I've got to take a little bit less to stay a 49er, maybe I do. Maybe I show up to camp. Maybe I say do what I have to do and say, hey, I demand a trade and you know, hey, I feel like I'm not loved anymore. But at the same time, like, I get it. I get that he can say all that stuff and he can have to go through the steps
right.
to try to get your money.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like, he wants to be there.
Right. And that's where the negotiation has been so tough. If Brandon Ayuk did not want to play for the 49ers,
yeah,
he would have asked for a trade in April
mm-hmm.
where, hey, he's making this loud and he's demanding this trade and he's making it clear that he doesn't want to come back. But like you just said, he wants to be there. Mm-hmm. He's made that clear. He said as much. But at the same time, does he want to be there at what he believes is less than his market value?
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, there's got to be some give and take here.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be here as long as you value me the way I believe I should be valued. And that's we've talked so much about this negotiation process. That's why I think the Niners coming to the table and maybe bucking the trend that they've set for themselves with other contracts,
mm-hmm.
coming to the table on this one specifically and saying, hey, you want to be here. We want you here. We know that you're a part of this transition from this old guard to this new guard.
Mm-hmm.
We have what we believe is a franchise quarterback. You're his favorite target. So we're gonna make sure to work this out. That's where I think the Niners might have stepped in it a little bit here. Because it has not been made clear to Ayuk that, hey, we value you on this level. It might not be at $30 million a year, but you know what? Hey, we initially said 26, and we're willing, you know what? Well, how about 28? Let's do 28.
Yeah.
We want you in this building. What do we got to do to make it happen? We're not doing 30, but let's talk. The fact the Niners haven't talked is why he requested a trade, but now he's in the building, which, like I said, leads me to believe that somewhere along the line, he was told, get in the building and we'll work.
Yeah, this is an act of good faith. And I want to bring up Wheezy in the chat. Let me see. There we go. It feels similar to the situation with Monk. You can get more money on a bad team or take a slight pay cut, but stay home on a winning team.
Sure.
I totally agree. Like, Malik Monk could have made a lot more money somewhere else. And I'm surprised Malik Monk went for the 4-year contract, not a 3-year deal with an opt out after 2. I am mm-hmm. surprised by that. But at the same time, like, you're looking at a player that had never made that kind of money.
Yeah.
You know, like, the most he'd ever made was $9.5 million or whatever it was, 9.9.
Mm-hmm.
And you just doubled up your money
mm-hmm.
and you're going to make $80 million over the next 4 years. Like, I know you could have made more,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to make $80 million over 4 years.
You're doing all right.
Yeah. And if I'm the Niners and Ayuk, like, maybe it is a 4-year, $100 million deal, but with some very reachable incentives to get you to $28 million and some yeah. very, you know, potential, like, if you win a Super Bowl, you can get to $30 million. If you, like, mm-hmm. like, put in some guarantees,
yeah,
like
right.
the huge, maybe even give him a huge guarantee money mm-hmm. number. Like, if you're giving him $100 million, maybe like $85 million is guaranteed
sure.
and you're up there with everybody else. But then the incentive money and everything else. But I just feel like this is one that you probably didn't have to beat someone up this way.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it almost feels like a baseball arbitration hearing where they go in and they're just like,
Yeah,
but we're going to pull out your dive attempts to the left-hand side and show
right.
you how bad you are at that.
The thing is, and that's where this has been, I think, frustrating for a lot of fans. There's not a lot of that with Ayuk. There's not a lot of just very clear weaknesses in his game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can, if you're the Niners, you're going, well, you know, Debo had more touches last year. Debo had more touchdowns last year. You're the number two receiver right now.
Mm-hmm.
When really he led the team in catches and yards,
yeah,
and was the I think second on the team in touchdown catches. Like, he was awesome, and he wins in all these areas. You can go look at the regular metrics. You can look at the advanced metrics. He's been awesome. But Brandon Ayuk, if you just missed it, has reported to camp with the 49ers. He is in the building, and again, whether this is a hold in mm-hmm. where he's going to be at practice but not participating, or whether this is him going, all right, I'm on the last year of my contract. You guys aren't negotiating. I'm playing this out, and then I'm out of here. And that's where the difference is between the Monk and Ayuk situations. That's where this shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is an aspect of, yeah, you can be on this really good team for X amount of dollars, or you can go to this bad team for Y amount of dollars. But he's not a free agent. There was it would have to be via trade that he was...
Yeah.
sent out. And the 49ers made it very clear that they're not trading him. Mm. They don't have to.
Yeah.
They can just let him. Yeah, hey, you want to hold out? Cool. We'll try this again next year.
And then they can franchise tag him.
And then, right. And then they can franchise tag him.
Yeah.
So this is the ball's been in the 49ers court. They've had all the leverage.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Ayuk holds out, then next offseason, he doesn't have an accrued season and he's just back in the same spot. He doesn't suddenly become a free agent. So now he's in the same spot.
And maybe the way that Ayuk wins this, because maybe the way you take back some of your leverage,
mm-hmm.
is just to be someone that the fan base is so enamored with, the way that you're handling mm-hmm. yourself. And that, again, the honesty of Ayuk is something, mm-hmm. it's so refreshing. And the fact that, like, for whatever reason, the wide receiver position in the NFL is mm-hmm. so much about being a diva.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like it really got out of hand with the Terrell Owens and mm-hmm. the Randy Moss and the Michael Irvin era. But it feels like it's always these guys. It's, mm-hmm. you know, look at the troublemakers in the league. It's mm-hmm. always what, and that's not who Ayuk has been.
Right.
Ayuk is a show up to work, well, and do externally. Your job. Yeah, yeah. But do your job, like don't cause a bunch of problems. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like the right fit for mm-hmm. a team that's filled with gigantic personalities and mm-hmm. huge money players. Like maybe that's what you do need.
Yeah. Yeah. So Brandon Ayuk reporting to camp. I think the reason that is with receivers is because you could be one of the best receivers in the league and you're looking at 8-9 targets a game, sometimes 10.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, sometimes there's going to be those games where you get 15-18 targets. There's going to be other ones where you get 3 or 4. It's not like a running back where you're just, hey, pencil that guy in for 18 touches today.
Yeah.
You gotta battle and fight and you gotta win your reps and you always think you're open. I get it to an extent, but you're right, man. He's not been that. He's been not a huge pain in the ass here.
Mm-hmm.
And the Niners have made it clear, hey, you're not being traded. So show up.
Yeah.
Like we'll see you there. So by showing up, Brandon Ayuk avoids fines, which I think is a key aspect of this.
Yep.
And so it'll be interesting to see, does a deal get done in the early portion of the training camp like we've seen the 49ers do time and time again? Or does this go until September like it did with Nick Bosa?
I hope it doesn't.
Me neither, because
the
longer this goes on, I think the higher the likelihood that this year is kind of a mess for Ayuk. And I don't think there's a world. The Niners are a run-first team. They still have Debo Samuel. They still have George Kittle. Christian McCaffrey is awesome. We all know that. But I don't think there's a world where they can overcome all the hurdles they need to overcome to go back to the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk being as good or better than he was last season.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree. Especially with Debo's penchant for injury. Mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey's penchant for injury.
Yep.
Even Kittle. You know, yeah. plenty of games missed due to injury. Ayuk is a dude who goes out there. He's one of those reliable guys that you can count on, and he's the what he does on the field, how he's able to play in that 20 to 30 yard range that Brock Purdy lives in, which is such a refreshing yep. place to live in. Mm-hmm. He's the perfect guy for this team.
Yep.
He is. Yep. So interesting.
Absolutely. They may not throw it a ton, but I've said this before. The Niners are never going to be in the top half of pass attempts in a year where they're any good.
Yeah.
The only time they've been in the top half of pass attempts is all the years where they're terrible mm-hmm. under Kyle Shanahan. So they're going to run the ball. And I get why they may not want to pay another wide receiver that much money. But the way Brandon Ayuk wins, you can't just say, yeah, put a safety over the top and you're locking him down. It's not that easy. You can't just say, yeah, just play inside leverage on him and he's not doing anything. Nah, man, he's going to win in so many different ways. It just forces defenses to focus on so many different things in the Niners passing game. I think they're going to get a deal done. I think the Niners want to get a deal done. They just do this hardball negotiation thing that makes it awkward. And
yeah, we all sit here and man, this is awkward. I wish it wasn't awkward.
Overall good news for San Francisco that Ayuk is in camp.
Yeah. I mean, this is, again, you show up. That's how you buck the trend here and you get your deal done.
All right. I want to put a pin in the 49ers for a bit because we've got the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch press conference coming up at 11 o'clock for you. That's going to be really interesting now that Ayuk is in the building. I was under the impression he was going to hold out.
Mm.
and I was expecting the typical John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan non-answer of, you know, he's part of us and he's going to be part of this team, and, you know, we're disappointed he's not here, but we're talking to him every day and this and that. Now he's in the building. He's there. That I think you hit the nail on the head. That's Ayuk going, all right, I'll play ball.
Yeah, I'm not the bad guy.
Right. Now you got to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a really smart move by him. I want to put a pin in that, though. Team USA men's basketball struggled again yesterday to beat Germany. Not that Germany's a bad team. Hey, is Dennis Schroeder good at football?
Good at basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the right situation, I think he is.
He was a menace yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he does have, like, I've always liked him because he plays with the speed and quickness that Fox plays with. Fox is faster, but that's always been something, like, he's a player that can get to a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always appreciated the way that he does that. I think he is like an irritant. He's a guy who like gets under people's skin, and he really, really, you know, career wise, like cost himself so much money when he turned down.
That was tough.
The Lakers, like, was it $84 million offer?
Is it 4 and 84?
Something like that. Oof. It just really, really hurt his value long term, and he'll never get back to that money. But
you got to pack your agent onto a jet and launch them into the sun if that happens.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having him on a roster. Like, I think he's...
I think he's solid, man.
Yeah, I do too. And solid all around. You know, he's 30 now. And, like, I just think that he's a guy that, like, he plays hard, you know? Yeah. And you get him into a situation like international play, and he has a very, very American game. Mm-hmm. And he's very difficult. The Germany's going to be super tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Germany, I got some odds today.
Yep.
From my friends over at betonline.ag. It's an offshore book. Don't tell anyone. Men's basketball gold medal winner odds. Team USA, despite their struggles with South Sudan,
mm-hmm.
who is 125-1.
Oof.
And despite their struggles with Germany, who is 25-1, the United States is 2-9, -450. That means you have to bet $450 on the United States to win it all, to win $100.
Oh, no.
Whereas if you want to bet $100 on Canada, who is second in the odds, Canada is 11-1. So your $100 bet would win you $1,100.
Oh, wow.
I think you got Canada at 11-1, France 12-1.
Yeah.
I can't.
No, I'm with you there.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Given how USA looked the last couple of games.
Mm.
And I know they're working through some stuff, but
I don't understand what they're working through. They're working through the fact that they have too many superstars.
Yes.
and they can't,
yes,
they can't seem to figure it out.
Yes. And also, it's been funny watching everybody else get privy to the Steve Kerr madness. Joel Embiid shouldn't be starting.
Mm.
I think he's doing that so he can start Embiid, which opens things up for LeBron and Steph, and Embiid can just be a rim protector and those two guys can go to work on offense. But, and then off the bench, you can bring in the Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo front court, which is just a monster.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of the philosophy on it. But Embiid just hasn't looked good, man. But
yeah.
Kerr has been like, yeah, him and LeBron and Steph are the three starters for sure. Man, what?
It's weird. And you know, the funny thing I've seen as well is how people are like, oh, you know what? Team USA is totally being, like, they're being carried by LeBron and AD. And that means that the Lakers are still legitimately a team. They're a threat. And it's like, bro, last time I checked, they don't have Steph Curry.
No. Although Austin Reeves is close.
With the Lakers. He's so close. He's so close. They don't have Anthony Edwards. It's like,
ooh. Is
Rui Hachimura?
Oh, it's close.
It's close. No. Like, it's so crazy how people are like, oh, they're legitimate. They still have a duo. It's like, oh, man, we're talking about 82 games, man.
If they played for the Portland Trailblazers, zero people would have that take.
I guess. Yeah.
Is one Laker fans are delusional. I think most people are a little bit DeLulu when it comes to their favorite teams.
Yeah.
But then there's the national media side of it where people in the national media badly want the Lakers to be good because clicks.
Oh, yeah.
So that's... Oh, hey, look at... Well, Anthony that, Davis, LeBron... Oh,
and Kyle, them go. I hate to point out, they're the best, and Team USA won by 1 point against South Sudan, and they barely beat Germany. Like, if that's what we got, there's a problem.
Hey, you know, speaking of problems, I think Franz Wagner is going to be a problem.
Okay.
Franz can hoop, dude.
Yeah, he can hoop, and I like him and Mo Wagner together. Yeah. Well, that, and I think the other thing you brought up while we were prepping today is Team USA today versus Team USA.
Oh, yeah.
The stats.
This is wild.
Yeah. So what was the stat that you came up with?
This is via House of Highlights.
Okay.
The original Dream Team faced 9 NBA players.
So crazy.
They played against 9 NBA players the whole Olympics.
We were trying to come up with them, too. Like, I think if we sat here, we went through it enough, we could probably come up. So it's like Drazen Petrovic.
Do you think they counted Kukoc?
Sabonis. I don't think Kukoc. He was too young, but it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
if that was 9 current NBA players or guys who made their way into the NBA eventually.
See, that's a good question, too. Like, yeah. Sarunas Marcellonis.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, who is it that you, like, who else was there? I it's tough. Like, I was thinking maybe Dino Raja, but I think he's a little bit later than that. Yeah. Yeah.
My Euro basketball knowledge.
Oh, Detlef Schrempf. There we go.
Oh, that's a really
good
one.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yep.
I think, Kukoc was young, so maybe...
Yeah, because he was on the second wave of the Bulls.
Yes. In 92, he was playing baseball. Professionally in Italy.
Right.
Yeah, in 92 and 93.
Yeah, I don't know if they would count him or not. But either way, it was nine players who played in the NBA.
Yeah, so I think we've come up with like 5.
This year, Team USA will face 61 NBA players.
Whew.
That's amazing.
That's wild.
NBA players.
But the league has expanded greatly since then. So what is there, like 4 more teams or 6 more teams since then?
Mm-hmm.
Like the expansion like kept happening.
Mm-hmm.
I
think it's 6.
It's either 4 or 6.
Either way.
Yeah. So there are a lot more players and there are a lot more teams around the world that are bringing players back.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of European teams used to be like, you're just here playing for your European team and you play over, in our leagues, you don't go over there. So yeah.
We'll pick this up a little bit later on today. We got the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch press conference coming up next for you right here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.